Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Mercy, mercy, mercy me. One way or another, we have said it this past week. The mercy, mercy me is a connection to the old expression of God help me. And in the midst of the week that we've been through, as we've opened ourselves to a mercy of God, we have found a warmth that has no outage. We have found a source of love that is a power source that never goes out. And as much as we wanted to have a heat with ongoing electricity this week, may we leave this week having that same desire, that same hunger in our belly and the raised goosebumps on our skin for the presence and power of the living Lord God. My, my, what a winter storm we've had. It was a winter storm in which millions of Texans did not have heat. It's a storm in which we prayed for those repair people up on the electrical lines doing their work to do the best to be able to get that electricity flowing from us when their grid source could provide that electricity. And in the midst of it, we knew that an Arctic blast had invaded the borders of our state and into our homes and our businesses and on our roads, and it did not check its passport, for we would not have let it in. But it came nonetheless. And so our character is what reveals whether we were winterized for the storm. We know that our electrical grid will have to go through some major evaluations so that next time a winter storm occurs, we will be more prepared for the distribution of electricity. But my question to you is, was your character ready for the storm? Was the connection of who you are in light of God and able to keep you going in His power regardless of the circumstances in which you were living? And were your eyes still able to see the beauty of the snow while you were enduring the threat of the ice? All this is part of what goes on within us. And as we experience this, one friend shared with me, Texans see snow. Texans were excited to see snow. Texans played in the snow. And Texans never want to see snow again. And of course, that's because we're not prepared to live with snow. We may travel many miles to go see a snowy landscape for areas that are prepared for the snow. But there is a way for us to be prepared in our character for whatever comes our way. That's what's going on in this remarkable story among the top five of stories told around the world called the Good Samaritan Parable. So much so that there are laws on the books in states across our country called the Good Samaritan Law. So often is the case that people don't know the source of the story, just like people may say, mercy, mercy me, but not know the source from which that comes. And we are then God's delivery system. Just as we have an electrical grid to distribute electricity, so God is counting on us to be His means for distributing His grace through mercy in our lives and our action. Now, here's what I mean by that. We step into the scriptures, and the book of Hebrews is one of the 66 books in the Bible. It's the one in the New Testament by which to best understand all of the 39 books of the Old Testament is to read the book of Hebrews. It will give you the eyes by which to see more clearly the Hebrew scriptures. And in the book of Hebrews, there's a powerful understanding of who Christ is as the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. That's what was going on with this religious expert. He couldn't quite grasp the heart of the message. So in Hebrews 4:16, it was said, let us then approach God's throne, His throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help those in need. and our own need. Now, you know what's going on here. There is a throne of grace. That's God. Grace is the source of mercy. There is no mercy without a source that's providing it, and that's the grace of God. That's the unhindered, unending, ever-present love of God. It is the sense of the grace that gives us the capacity to be forgiven while we are sinners. It is the grace, it's the capacity to be loved when we are unlovable. It's the grace that gives us hope when the situation seems hopeless. It is the grace that gives us an energy beyond our own natural capacity, because God's goodness just gives that grace. It's that kind of mercy power. It's like when the three were on the cross of Calvary and Jesus was there, and there was one who understood the grace of Jesus, that repentant thief on the cross, dying the same death that the innocent Jesus was dying. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you enter the throne of grace. Remember me when you enter into paradise. Give me your grace." And the other thief on the cross is the one who said, "What are you doing?" And the one who was repentant said, "We deserve what we are getting." But he does not. He is the grace source. And Jesus gave him that forgiveness. See, we experienced a challenging storm to our means to provide water and electricity. And the cross was the ultimate test of hatred's attempt to put out the grace of God. And Calvary overcame that story. But maybe I've gone too far ahead of the story for right now. Let me take you back to the scene. And the scene is in the story about a religious lawyer who had gone up north. He had traveled this road up north to be where Jesus was, because the religious power in Jerusalem, far to the south, sent him on this trek northward to interrogate Jesus, to do a fact-finding and biased investigation of Jesus, so that next time that Jesus would come to Jerusalem, the religious court there could have him arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. He was on that fact-finding mission, but he was doing it with a bias. And our world lives with a bias today. And if we don't see others in the world in which we live with a mercy, with a grace source, then we are missing out on what God is wanting to do in our lives. So when he was there, he thought the moment had arrived where he could say to Jesus, he said, "I got a question for you. I got a question." He said, "I have a question that I want to bring to you." Now, for us in our own questions, we all have questions. Huey, you powerfully and beautifully opened your heart story with us. And as you did, you brought your questions about how to access these promises of God, these scriptures, how do we get to them? And as your life opened up in a bruising stretch of time, we can see more clearly how we ourselves can access those promises of God for the hurts within our own life. And as the delivery system of Huey for all of us helps us to know then how we may open ourselves so others may experience a flesh and bone inspiration to get into this grace source of God, it means we must bring our questions like an offering to Christ. We must want to know what God wants us to know. We must desire to know what God wants us to know. We want to know a lot of things, but too often we get distracted and we don't want to know the things that God is wanting us to know, so that we can ultimately know what we need to know with all the other stuff. You followed that, right? So we have to listen. We got to listen with our soul. We got to listen with our head. We have to listen with our heart. We have to listen with our hands. The early church understood the soul was like a ligament that tied together the spirit with our whole self, the body, mind, and spirit. So we can bring our questions like an offering. We may come with anger. We may come with accusations. But don't let it stop there with God. Ultimately, let those be turned into an offering. And so this religious expert on his biased fact-finding mission was coming with an accusation towards Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And this passage of Luke 10, 25 through 29 is the opening scene for us. That's the question he wanted to know the answer to. And Jesus said to him, there's something underneath your question that you first must connect to. And so he said, what do the scriptures say? And how do you read them? Now, this man was supposed to know what the scriptures said. And so he could quote the scripture. But then Jesus said, how do you read them? What does it mean to you? And very perceptively, this religious lawyer pulled together schools of thought that were called rabbinic schools of thought that argued this very same kind of question. And he pulled together a statement out of Deuteronomy and a statement out of Leviticus and the first five books of the Bible, pulled them out, brought them together and said, well, one, we are to love the Lord God with all of our heart, our mind, our body, and our spirit. And then from Leviticus, that other book he brought in, and to love our neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, well done. You have understood the heart of God in seeing these connections. But remember, he was on a biased fact-finding mission. He had his own slanted purpose. And so he came back with an additional question. That is, well, who is my neighbor? How do we answer that question? And it's as though Jesus said to him, thanks. I'm glad you asked that question. Because Jesus was ready with an answer that not only touched his soul, but touches our soul today, like Debbie highlighted in the children's sermon. And as he laid out that story, it was a sense about being able to see what God was wanting to show. 3 years ago, some of us were in Milan, standing in front of Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting of The Last Supper. You know it, that it's Jesus having a Last Supper with the apostles, and while he is at the scene, Jesus had just said, one of you will betray me. When standing in front of the original, I was remembering stories that I'd heard about the painting and traditions or history. And one of those that occurred to me was the story of when Da Vinci needed a face to paint on Judas, the betrayer, the ultimate deceiver of Christ. Da Vinci thought of his worst enemy and put that face on Judas. Months later, the last face he would put in the portrait was the face of Jesus. And as he attempted to paint the face of Jesus, he couldn't do it because he kept seeing the face of his enemy in Judas. And in order to paint the face of Jesus, he had to see that flesh and blood enemy of his own time differently and painted another face, which was there. Jesus would say, we must see people with grace that delivers mercy, even to the people who have no mercy intent for us. Even for people who are not connected to the source of grace, they're desperately needing it to be delivered to them. And so again and again and again, Jesus would say, pray for the people who persecute you. Pray for those who call you enemy. In history again, we may turn the page and see when a General Oglethorpe said to John Wesley in the 1700s, in the midst of a powerful movement of Christianity, and Oglethorpe says, I don't forgive anyone. And Wesley said, then I hope that you never sin. We all know what it feels like depth in our soul to be as guilty as sin. And what do we need? But we need to hear God's voice to say, repent and you are forgiven. And then we need to hear from a person whom we have offended to say, I too will forgive you. Then we may learn from our sin. But then we may be made healed and made whole. Then we may start again. And so this religious lawyer, in asking the question, who is my neighbor, was into none of that. But Jesus had a story for him. Now, most of you know the story inside and out. Most of you can tell the story. I pray that you tell the story to those who don't know the story. It's a great story to be able to share the heart of Christ to the heart of people who don't know the heart of God. And as you tell this story, you convey the image of what it is. And the image then is to be able to see with mercy, to be able to form a mercy eyes, that before conducting and concluding your own fact-finding mission in life of who God is and how we're to live our lives and what life is about, allow compassion to focus you, showing you what is possible. In our own household, like in your household, we had one night, we had four blankets and quilts on top of us. It was really hard to appreciate the beauty of the snow outside. But there was something still about the glistening power of nature and what God may create that's vastly different than we normally experience, to understand that God is the God of all seasons, even if we're shivering in the midst of it. It's the eyes then to be able to see this source of grace with mercy and compassion in our eyes. And so as the story unfolds, it unfolds on a dangerous trail, a dangerous trip. The journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho is 4,000 feet descent in elevation. And it's a winding road. And in the day of Jesus, it was a dangerous trek to make. It was famous or infamous because of the very thing that Jesus was about to say in the story. And everyone in Israel knew it was a dangerous passage to take. And so when he said there was a priest going down the road, and he saw a man that had been beaten by robbers, left half naked, left for dead, went on their way. And the priest, for some reason, did not feel a compulsion to go and help. Suspend your judgment for a moment. And then you know the story. One who was in the lineage of all the priests, called the priest, the lineage of Levi, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He too had been on that same trip. He was on his own mission. And his mission, when his eyes saw that beaten man on the side of the road, he also did nothing to help. Now, when the robbers saw that man, they saw the opportunity to take advantage of a vulnerable person. That's why they beat him. I can hear them mocking. I can hear them as they stripped his clothes, taking what he had, probably on a business trip, and leaving him for dead, and feeling that the power of a sin-sick person raping somebody else's soul. And the man was dying. And then it took someone who had been beaten up, someone who had been left for dead, someone who had been overlooked in society, someone to whom the majority of the people would say he didn't matter. That same man, called a Samaritan, went down the road, saw the same man, sized up the same situation, but saw it completely different. Here's the radical nature of the gospel. This is why Jesus was sent to the cross. And in his resurrection, this is the authority that he gives for us. Because if you go back to the same book of Deuteronomy, and you read there in Deuteronomy 6, there's also a description that if a priest sees someone who is dead, and that someone who is dead is not a mother and father, not a brother or sister, is not an unmarried sister, if not one of these people, then don't touch and defile yourself by touching the body. And so Jesus in answering the question of who's my neighbor, was throwing this revolution by saying the person on that side of the road was actually like your mother, your father, your brother, your married sister, was actually one of you. Now, maybe it takes us to feel like the anguish of when we've lost something that we desperately see as though for the first time what's at stake. How many of you did a dance of joy when the electricity came on? And you drank that pure water without having to boil it, and you thought, this tastes so good. That kind of joy of having again what was taken for granted and being able to appreciate it in a fresh way. That Samaritan knew what that man beaten on the side of the road felt like. And so he did what he could. What he did is he took Psalm 23:4 when it was said, that Psalm 23:5, and the Lord prepares you a table in the presence of your enemies, and like a banquet table, and he anoints your head with oil, and your cup flows over with wine. And so he took the oil and the wine that he had as a healing ointment, disinfected the wounds with the wine, and then the star of a story also includes the donkey. For the man put him on his donkey like into a car, took him on to the destination of his business trip where his business in frequent traveler points were adding up. And there he stayed with him till he knew that he was going to live. He paid for a couple of days in advance to the innkeeper, and then said, if your expenses are more to care for him, I'll come back and pay them. That was investing his reputation. That was investing his capital. That was investing because the innkeeper knew that he was good for his word and how essential it is for us in a desperate 21st century world that we be good to our word so people will listen to what we say because they see it in our actions. Wow, I can only imagine. Well, you know the song. A song by a 10-year-old boy by the name of Bart being raised by a dad who was an alcoholic and abusive named Arthur. And how it was that this boy left by his mother to live alone with his dad, who was as mean could be. Finally then to be able to go back to live with his mother. And all the anger that raged inside of a wounded soul, this boy called Bart, found Christ. Found Christ in a way that he then could form a connection back to his dad while a teenager, then helping his dad to find the healing power of the gospel, then as a recovering alcoholic, then Arthur, his dad, came into a passionate, intense love relationship with Christ, feeling the need of forgiveness. Oh, he had sinned. What would he do with his sin but the grace of God? He felt the anguish of that sin like John Newton of Amazing Grace. And there in the midst of it, Bart helped his dad, for whom he had such anger, to be at peace. And his dad was changed. Then Bart went to college, took a musical gift. A course that he had wanted to take wasn't available. They threw him into a music class, and he found his gift in that music class. And he began to write in his journal through time, I can only imagine. He formed a group then unknown but known to us today called Mercy Me. And they needed another song to finish out an album. So in the back of the roving bus, he sat down in a matter of 10 minutes, took his life story, and put it into the song of I Can Only Imagine What It Is Like to Be in the Throne of God's Grace and to experience the wonder of God's love like his dad. It was a healing story of the Good Samaritan in his own life, but also captured it as one of the most popular films of this 21st century in America. See, when we allow our lives to be healed by the grace of God, and then we tell the mercy story of that, then it becomes attractive to other broken lives and becomes attractive to people who don't trust enough to believe and who can't get close enough to the gospel because of how they've seen hypocrisy around the gospel. But when they see it being freshly delivered like this Good Samaritan, like this boy called Bart, then it grasps them. And they're changed. I'll bring your questions like an offering to Christ and want to know what it is that God wants you to know, and then to be able to form mercy eyes by which to see with compassion. And thirdly, then it is like a go and do. It's a go and do. So when Jesus wrapped up the story, the man was startled, this religious lawyer, didn't know what he was going to do with what Jesus was saying, reporting back on his mission in Jerusalem to the powers that be there. And Jesus again said, now. My third question to you in our conversation is the culminating question. Which of these three showed he knew who the neighbor was? And to which the lawyer said, I'd like to think. He said it with a genuine awareness and confession. It's the one who showed compassion, the one who gave mercy, the one who expressed a pity. It's that one. Who did? And Jesus then said, go and do likewise. It's a transformation of his life into our life. May we never forget this week. May we not hold things against people because of this or that didn't go right. Let's learn the lessons. Let's help others learn the lesson. Let's go forward, okay? There's so much blaming culture that we're a part of today that we get permission to be angry because things didn't go as we'd hoped for them to do. But let's help each other get our lives back together on the other side of the storm. But let's help our society to get back together because we are in a power outage of people getting the mercy of God delivered to their lives. And we are that delivery source for them. Go and do likewise. Do you remember the originating question in this parable, this real encounter? He said, the man came and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I live now and live forever? And then Jesus took him into the heart of the question and said, you got to let your heart live. You got to live before you die. You gotta trust something beyond your own stuff to get to the good stuff, the throne of God's grace. That's where it's found. That's the mercy. Oh, mercy. Mercy me. Oh, Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.